Welcome, everyone. Welcome to episode two of our Spotlight on Sophos podcast. In for another month. Can't believe it's been a month since our first episode. I welcome you. Myself am Alex Beeson. I am the Sophos business manager at Arrow, and I'm welcomed by the wonderful John Hope from Sophos as well. So we'll dive straight in. John, what's new this month?
Fantastic. Well, thanks for the intro. Yeah, I also cannot believe it's been a month already. It is mad how quickly time goes. So there's quite a few things that I wanted to talk about, actually. I'm not even really quite sure where to start, but
Too much.
yeah, a little bit too much. Yeah, we'll start out with some things that probably fall under the remit of sales and marketing, really, but I think it's a really bit of good news. So the Magic Quadrant for endpoint protection platforms from Gartner landed, and I'm delighted to say we are once again to be found in the leader quadrant, which is fantastic. One of the great things about working at Sophos is that we've got such a long pedigree of creating protection in that space. And it's actually the 14th consecutive Magic Quadrant that we've featured in the top right-hand corner. And I don't think there's another vendor that can claim anything close to that. So that's fantastic. In an additional accolade as well, we're also named Gartner's Customer Choice for Endpoint Security for the second consecutive year as well. So that's really good news as well.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's really positive. The more technical amongst us probably actually prefer the SE Labs report, however, which has also landed at a very similar time. So just to explain a little bit about the differences, really, Gartner is an analyst report. So they take into consideration things like how big the organization is, how many users we have, what our vision and roadmap looks like, and their confidence in our ability to execute on that roadmap. The SE Labs is a bit more of a cybersecurity bake-off where they actually throw malware and malicious activities at protection platforms and they see how we get on. And I'm really pleased to say that we've got 100% clean sweep across the board on that one. So that's 100% protection
Lovely.
accuracy, legitimacy accuracy, and an overall total accuracy with zero false positives. So there is literally no better result than that. We absolutely smashed. And that's the sixth time that we've come in at 100%. So, it depends. Some people tend to follow the analysts, some people tend to follow the techies, but actually, do you know what? There's a really good answer in both scenarios there. So, that's absolutely fantastic news.
Definitely, yeah.
So, I thought I would share that as an opening gambit.
That's a great opening.
Yeah, some good news, some good news indeed. So there's a few other things that I wanted to just flesh out a little bit more as well, actually. So last time, Alex, we talked a little bit about adaptive attack protection, didn't we? And, that's obviously captured quite a few people's imaginations because on the Sophos monthly technical update webinar, which I do, there was actually a request to sort of see that functionality and the remote ransomware protection functionality in play. So, if anybody who's listening that maybe didn't catch that webinar, that is available inside the Sophos Partner Portal as available on demand. So you can watch not myself, but my colleague Costa actually demonstrating remote ransomware as an attack and showing how InterceptX protects against that particular attack vector. So there's a nice little, if you're a bit more techie, again, that's quite a nice thing to have a little look at. On the subject of adaptive attack protection, we've actually broken that configuration out into a separate tab now inside Sophos Central. This is quite exciting, I guess, in a way, because what it alludes to is a future where we'll actually be able to make the functionality a little bit more aggressive, actually, so that it kicks in a little bit more frequently. But obviously, the trade-off is if we're going to dial it up and make it intervene at an earlier stage, we want to be able to flesh that. At the moment, it's a single button to turn it on or off. We want to be able to flesh that out and give settings and configuration options. So that's the first step towards having that extra bit of granularity in the policies as well. So obviously we don't want that to false positive because we talked a bit before, didn't we, about the fact that in certain circumstances it will shut down potentially legitimate services like remote desktop and that sort of thing. So we want to make sure we're only using that invocation where we really need to do it. There's been some fun evidence from the field as well, actually, about the effectiveness of adaptive attack protection. It today marks just slightly over 6 months since we first added the adaptive attack protection into the endpoint, although admittedly it was in monitor only mode for a little while. And it's really interesting to see the number of activations that we've had. So we've had just slightly shy of 1700 instances where adaptive attack protection has actually kicked in and protected an organization from some form of human operated attack. So it's definitely doing its thing.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's also teaching us a huge amount about cyber criminal activities as well. So we've seen quite a new wave of detections inside Software Central related to activities that adaptive attack protection has found. So just as a point of reference, if you're looking inside the logs inside Software Central, anything that has a disrupt rule as part of the trigger will tell you that that's probably adaptive attack protection that's actually got involved in there. So it's doing some really clever stuff like stopping the cyber criminals from rebooting devices into safe mode. Side loading malicious drivers. We talked a bit before, didn't we, about the fact that as many as 80% of ransomware attacks actually involve some kind of unprotected device that's somewhere down the field. And one of the ways that cyber criminals can effectively create an unmanaged device, if they haven't actually just found one by happenstance, is by either forcing the device to reboot into safe mode or sideloading a vulnerable driver. So it's great to see that those particular attack vectors we're seeing those things getting triggered. There's quite an interesting case study that dropped out of Sophos Labs as well, with an organization that had three instances of the same cybercrime gang turning up, rocking up with various different versions of Cobalt Strike, and each time active attack protection actually kicking in and kicking the bad guys out. So it shows two things, actually. It shows the tenacity of the cyber criminals, the fact that they came back three times.
Yeah, relentless.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it also illustrates as well, we're talking about out-of-hours attacks. So the attacks in question, one of them was at just before 8:30 in the morning. One of them was just after midnight, and then the other one landed on a weekend. So again, further illustrating the fact that not only are they up to these sort of malicious activities, but they're timing those malicious activities to kick in at the worst possible time from an organization's perspective. They know that nobody's around watching the telemetry. So great little advertisement there for having this functionality to cover the times when there isn't a human actually looking at the screens and detecting these sorts of things happening.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's testament to a lot of organizations who won't have 24 hours eyes on and being able to just go through all of that and spot that. So to be able to kind of have that reassurance that knowing that Sophos is in the background detecting that kind of activity and being able to, like say, I mean, in three instances of the same thing, be able to shut it down and shut them out, and hopefully that they did it three times and three times with a charm, and they've thought, well, let's not bother again because we're just wasting time and resources, and they've moved on.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that, actually, because we did also pull apart a bit of malware the other day that actually had specifically in the binaries there that if it detected Sophos running, that it was basically just to do nothing, which is exactly that. Yeah, it's exactly like give up, yeah, before you even start. But
that's a good advertisement.
I think it is. I don't think there's any higher endorsement than that, is there?
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Just like if it says Sophos, don't bother. Just move on. Next one.
Yeah, in a weird sort of way, it is quite an endorsement. So... it's definitely successful. I mean, it's no substitute for human led threat hunting, as again we've talked about. It's a nice technology measure that we've got there for sure. Talking about human led threat hunting, should we talk a little bit about MDR?
Yes, please.
So there's a couple of things that are quite useful in the MDR space. One of them is a case study.
Okay.
Really, really interesting case study, actually, this one that really illustrates the value that we have of extracting telemetry out of Microsoft environments.
Okay.
And also illustrates as well just the way that cyber criminals operate and how it's not really about a game of malware anymore. So let me tell you a story. So we detected an issue with an end user organization, and the scenario was this. They were actually the victims of a business email compromise attack.
Okay.
And what we observed in their environment and the things that set off the alarms for our MDR desk to investigate is that some suspicious rules were actually added into their Office 365 environment. Some pretty clever rules, actually. So long story short is one of the clerks that was busy in accounts payable They had their credentials phished, and it was a really mundane phishing attack, something along the lines of they had implemented a new car parking system, and therefore, could you please log in and put your car registration details in to avoid getting a ticket? And they'd fallen for it and basically given away their Office 365, their Microsoft credentials. They were then used by the cyber criminals to inject an additional set of rules into Office 365. Essentially, anything that had the subject line of order or invoice or was sent to order processing at, let's call them the Acme Sprocket company, then those emails were to be forwarded onto a cyber criminal email address and then subsequently deleted from the inbox.
Wow.
Yeah, and then to add further insult to injury, their managed security partner, their cybersecurity partner, all the emails from that domain were actually automatically deleted as well. So if they'd actually found anything, then it and reached out via email, then that would have just simply been deleted. But the clever part of the scam is actually this. So what happens with all those orders and invoices? Well, the cyber criminals were subtly changing the bank details on all of those requests and then sending them back to the original recipient. And basically, that the person there could quite happily have been sitting there paying all these invoices and actually basically boosting the cyber criminal's bank account, which is a really sophisticated attack, actually. And if you think about how that would have been detected under normal circumstances, it's probably 28 days later when the suppliers start calling up and saying, "Hey guys, you've not paid your invoices," and then the conversations, "Yeah, we have," and then eventually the whole scam unravels, and the people realize they've been paying the wrong bank account. But we detected these rules being put into place, and obviously triggered off an MDR investigation, contacted the organization, and said, "Look, we've seen these policies. It looks really suspicious to us." So it's a really good illustration, like I said, of one, pulling the telemetry out of Microsoft, but also the power of MDR to look at things beyond malware. You notice nowhere in that statement was there any malware at play here. That's
No.
not really a technology problem that we solved there, but I think it's a really good illustration, actually, of just how sophisticated cyber criminals can be. So nice little anecdote. On a more practical level, there's two new integrations that have actually launched this month. One of them we talked about, but is now live. So that just a reminder, that was the Veeam integration that we talked about last month. That's now GA. That's available for purchase. The other one, which is available now, is the integration into Google Workspace. So obviously, as I've alluded to several times over, we have that integration into Microsoft environments, but now we have a similar one for Google Workspace as well. So this comes under the bracket of the productivity group of integrations, which we actually provide free of charge for all of our MDR customers and all of our XDR customers, for those that self-manage their human threat hunting. So this allows us to pull telemetry in from the Google Workspace environment. Able to detect things like email spoofing, malware reclassification, spurious and suspicious login details, single sign-on profiles being created or deleted, suspicious activity associated with an account that might have been suspended. For example, if a user leaves the organization, their account is suspended and all of a sudden it gets reactivated. That's a bit weird. And then a whole bunch of settings looking at admin access and admin rules and policies as well. So it's a really comprehensive integration, which is going to be really, really useful to those organizations that are consuming Google Workspace,
Yeah, definitely.
which I think particularly in education, I think is quite popular. So that's pretty neat. So there's also quite a bit of news, actually. We talked a lot about the endpoint there, but there's quite a bit of news actually around the firewall side of things. So the version 20 of Sophos Firewall launched late last year, actually. But one of the enhancements that it's quite pertinent to talk about is the active threat response element. So this is really a shout out for those people that have suitable Sophos firewalls to upgrade to version 20, because as part of that upgrade, one of the things that you can do is, if you're consuming XDR or you're protecting your estate with our managed detection response service, if we're carrying out a threat investigation and we can see things that indicate a compromise, we can actually basically inject blocking rules into the firewall. So back in the old days, what we might have done is we might have emailed the administrator of that network and said, "Hey, we've seen this suspicious activity. You should probably throw some firewalls in place." And obviously, if that's an evening, it's a weekend. If there's stuff like change control, then that can take quite a long time. And by the time that's implemented, it could potentially be meaningless. So this sort of ability to load in policies allows us to very quickly respond and contain a threat by using a firewall. So it's also a bit of an advantage actually of having a Sophos firewall in your estate. And there is sometimes a bit of an easier option from some respects when we position MDR that we talk about integration with whatever the customer's incumbent firewall is. And there is some validity in that. But actually this cross functionality of being able to then inject policy into the firewall is actually a pretty good reason to own a Sophos firewall. So it's a nice extra string to the bow there, as is ZTNA. Actually, ZTNA is something that seems to be coming up a lot again all of a sudden. It seems to have really gained in popularity. I don't know if you're seeing the same sort of thing, Alex.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it's something that is now becoming a more prevalent conversation. I think it that the conversation started a couple of years ago and it started to become popular, and then it kind of went off the boil a little bit. But it seems like it's making a resurgence now. And yeah, people are starting to look into it more just for that added layer of protection, definitely.
Yeah, and we're making it a bit easier. So I'm going to say it's part of version 20, but I mean, actually, technically, it was launched in version 19.5. But nevertheless, a recent addition to the firewall has been the capability that it can do double duty and act as a ZTNA gateway as well. So for those organizations that have maybe got some applications on-prem, they can use the firewall that they've got to do double duty, like I said, as a ZTNA destination, as well as being able to run it in the cloud for those sort of cloud-based applications. And when you couple that in with DNS, we're getting perilously close to a joined-up SASE solution as well, which is actually quite exciting. All those pieces of the puzzle are landing to allow for those capabilities. Again, just to remind you, I know we talked about it last time, the DNS protection service is in early access still. It won't be too much longer now before that's generally available. So that's one to look out for. For sure. Just going back to the firewall for a second as well, actually, it's probably worth mentioning there's now a security posture assessment report inside the firewall as well. This is a customizable report that actually effectively allows like a management level overview of what the firewall's been up to. It's a great ROI calculator, demonstrating what the firewall is doing on a day-to-day basis, what protection it's delivering. Showing a snapshot of all of your firewalls from an inventory point of view, their health status, and also how they're licensed. But most importantly, illustrating where it's actually doing some proactive blocking and what the customer is ultimately getting out of their firewall. So that's a little bit of a bonus as well. Obviously, we all know times are hard, and it's you've got to be able to justify the investments you've made in any walk of life and any product line. So being able to generate that report for the firewall is pretty neat. Version 20 also comes with some enhancements as well from a central management perspective. This is probably going to be most relevant for those organizations that are listening on that are maybe managed service providers. If you've got a whole bunch of firewalls inside Sophos Central, you can now do centralized firmware rollouts and rollbacks as well. So making it easier to manage a whole estate, a whole fleet of Sophos firewalls from Sophos Central. So that's a nice little bonus as well. So there's quite a bit going on, as I've mentioned. Not really too much else to mention, I guess, other than just a little bit of a heads up, really, to those Sophos partners that are selling the APX series of hardware. Obviously, I'm really conscious that it's our financial year end coming up, and that always sees a ramp up in sales. Just to let people know that the APX series, there is limited availability on certain product lines. So if you're positioning those and pinning your hat on a deal that's going to include those, then just it would be a good idea, I think, to flag it up to your account manager at Arrow and subsequently flag it up to our logistics team so that we make sure that we've got stock to fulfill those orders. I think that's probably quite important.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, just to reiterate that point, obviously, if anyone listening does have something that they're lining up and they're expecting, and there is any concern around availability, then please do just reach out to the team and we can investigate and work out what's available where, and we'll obviously do our best to make sure that we can fulfill those orders that you guys are expecting.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's one last thing. It's a bit of a retrospective shout out, actually. But we did an email academy at the start of February, which I appreciate is now in the past. But you can view that on demand. So that's something to trawl back through your emails for, and you'll find that links for that on the partner portal as well. So for those of you that have considered Software Central email protection, or are using it already and want to skill up a little bit, then that's a really good 3-day workshop that takes you through all the features and functions and how to get the best return on Software Central email. So that's something to check out if you've got a little bit of time as well. It's a bit of time well spent for, again, for the slightly more technical people on on the audience. But I think those are the main updates, actually. So as I said, there was a lot there to go through, lots of little bits and pieces, really.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. No, it's great. I think that lots of great updates. I think hopefully all the listeners will have found that super valuable. I know I have. I mean, well, yeah, for another month. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm very much looking forward to what next month brings.
Yeah, you and me both. Thank you very much indeed for having me again, Alex. And I will catch you next month. In the interim, please take care, Alex. And obviously to audience as well, take care. And I'll catch up with you very soon.
Thanks very much, John, and speak soon.
Bye for now.
Bye.